You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Aquarium Mania. I'm your host, Roy Anong, speaking to you from the University of Florida's Tropical Aquaculture Laboratory, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. Today, we continue our journey through the fascinating world of aquariums, this time discussing a very unique fish, the glowfish. The thousands of species of fish, invertebrates, and plants in the aquarium hobby provide endless possibilities of breathtaking aquarium design and fish combinations. Traditional breeding of wild-type fish have greatly expanded these possibilities. Now, enter the 21st century and the remarkable glowfish, the U.S.'s first transgenic pet. What is the glowfish? Today, our guest is Alan Blake. Alan Blake is the Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of Yorktown Technologies, LP, the exclusive licensor of glowfish fluorescent fish. After more than 5 years on the market, glowfish are among the top-selling fish in the ornamental fish industry and remain the only biotech animal available to the public in the U.S. Since co-founding the company in 2001, Alan has gained extensive experience in all aspects of working with a biotech animal, including regulatory issues and commercialization and marketing. Alan has served as a primary spokesman for glowfish and has been featured in all sorts of print, broadcast, and radio venues and dozens of international outlets. He is currently a member of BIO's Animal Biotechnology Committee and has chaired many panel discussions for BIO and the World Aquaculture Society. We'll be right back with Alan Blake after these messages.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step by step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Aquarium Mania. With us today is Alan Blake, and we're going to learn a lot about the glowfish from Alan today. How are you doing, Alan?
Doing great. It's wonderful to be here, and thank you for giving me a chance to come on the show.
How's Texas?
Texas is wonderful. It's a little overcast today, but by the end of the day, I think it will be sunny and 65 or 70 degrees, so can't ask for too much more in the end of October.
That sounds great. So, glowfish, now they were obviously a really huge news item several years ago. I think there are, believe it or not, I think there are still folks, especially people who maybe aren't as into the aquarium hobby, that really aren't familiar with them. So what exactly are glowfish?
Glowfish are fluorescent zebrafish. They were developed originally, the first fluorescent zebrafish were developed over 10 years ago now at the National University of Singapore. The long-term idea was that they would help to detect water toxins, that they would only fluoresce in the presence of toxins. First step was to make them fluoresce all the time. We can talk a little bit more about how they were developed later, but for the purposes of the hobby, they're just like any other zebrafish, just a whole lot more brilliant in color. They come in three colors. Got electric green, starfire red, and sunburst orange.
Now, you mentioned a little bit about how they were developed. I guess, could you go into a little more detail? And we're going to get into a little more science here, but I think a lot of the listeners would be interested.
Sure. So as I mentioned, these are fluorescent zebrafish, and these fish in particular were developed by taking fluorescence genes from sea coral, and the gene was taken out of the sea coral. It's added into the embryo right after the egg is fertilized, and in some cases, the fluorescence gene integrates into the DNA. And when the fish grows up, it is able to pass it along to its offspring. So it essentially is a hereditary trait. So the fish, after that very first fish is developed, all the subsequent fish are born with their brilliant color, have it throughout their entire lives, and then pass it along to their offspring. So it's a really wonderful way to have a brilliantly colored fish without needing to dye or inject the fish, as has been the case with some other types of fish that have been colored.
Okay, yeah, that was going to be my question, because I know when you go into an aquarium store, many times you see all sorts of pretty colorful fish that look like, you know, they probably have been painted or dyed. So with the glowfish, how will folks know that they're, you know, looking at a glowfish versus one of these dyed fish?
Well, that's a great question, and the best way is really to ask the store, ask the staff, is this a glowfish? Glowfish is a trademark. It's a trademark brand of our company. And if you ask the store, is this a authentic glowfish, then that's really the best way to try and discern that. Could also certainly look at the pictures on our website. It's glowfish.com, glowfish.com. We've got pictures. We've got video. And the fish you see in the store should look just like the fish on our website. And if they don't, that's probably not a good sign.
Okay, that sounds good. I would imagine many of the stores probably are marketing them specifically as glowfish versus the dyed and painted fish as well. So hopefully that will help out. Now, you know, going back, to kind of the development of this first transgenic pet actually, you know, available in the U.S., I know, you know, I've known you for a number of years. I know there were quite a few steps that you had to take. Can you maybe give us a little bit of the history of what it took to get the glowfish on the market? And, you know, how, like, when did you start? You know, what were the ideas for doing this? Who did you have to work with? You know, those sorts of questions.
Sure. It was actually an enormously complicated and challenging process, much more so than I ever would have imagined. We started the process in 2001 and took, all in all, more than 2 years, close to 2.5 years, to get the fish onto the market. The fish, as I mentioned, were originally developed at the National University of Singapore, and we had to work not only with them to license the technology, we had to work with a lot of other companies that have certain intellectual property rights that cover the fluorescent fish and the particular lines of fish that we were interested in working with. So the process of getting all the licenses, getting all the intellectual property, patent rights, and that sort of thing, as well as dealing with all the regulatory questions, took an awful lot of time. And then we spent a tremendous amount of time looking at the potential ecological and human health safety issues to ensure that the fish were safe for the environment and that they were also there were no human health concerns. So we worked with experts, environmental risk assessment experts, specifically folks that focused on biotech animals, worked with them for quite a while to ensure that the fish were safe for the environment. We did studies, all sorts of different analyses and studies to ensure that we had the enough information to safely make that assessment. And then we went through the process of licensing the fish to producers in Florida. We worked with exclusively with two producers, 5D Tropical and Seagrist Farms, who then produced the fish and by late 2003 were ready to start selling the fish to the market.
Okay, so now you mentioned environment. What kind of concerns were there for environmental impact, or what sort of things were you having to look into? And I guess also maybe for some of the listeners, what sort of groups were concerned about some of the issues that these fish might present?
Well, at the time, Roy, as you remember, there were no biotech animals or genetically modified animals on the market. We were intending to have the very first genetically modified animal publicly available in the world. So more than anything, there were some questions. A lot of people had questions about how this would work, what would happen if the fish would escape. So for example, if the fish escaped into the environment, could it cause any type of concern or disruptions, any type of invasiveness issues? A whole slew of questions that were essentially focused on what would happen if the fish escaped. And we did, as I mentioned, a tremendous amount of research into this. And fundamentally, what we discovered is that, as you know, zebrafish have been sold by the tens of millions per year for decades. In fact, we have references going back all the way to the 1920s, or actually late, I guess, teens, where the zebrafish were produced. And despite all those decades of sale, hundreds of millions of zebrafish being sold, our zebrafish have never established populations in the United States in the wild. They've never established self-sustaining populations. So we then tested our fish to ensure that our fish were no more fit, no more ecologically fit than the wild type zebrafish. And of course, we found that they're actually weaker because of the fluorescence gene. It exerts a metabolic burden. And that being the case, we knew that our fish, if they escaped, would be less able to survive than the zebrafish, which have not been able to survive. And we were able to conclusively show that there were no ecological concerns.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it would make sense if you have a pretty brightly colored fish, you're probably going to be most easily seen by a potential predator, or, you know, fish or bird or something, which I guess maybe that was another question too. If something, another animal were to eat these fish, is there any potential concern there, or
That's a great question. And the answer is no. There's no difference. This is our fish are fluorescent because they have one additional gene out of tens of thousands. And there's no fundamentally difference from the perspective of consumption between that gene and any other gene. So just like we can eat chicken, I can go have a chicken sandwich for lunch today and I don't have to worry about growing wings. There's no concern if some other animal were to eat our fish that any of the DNA would transfer. And in fact, our bodies and evolution designs us to really protect against DNA transferring from one organism to another.
Okay. And then the fluorescence, I'm assuming, is obviously not something to be, or the fluorescent properties of the fish aren't an issue either.
Right. Yeah, these are naturally occurring genes. They've been in the food chain for millions and millions of years. And an important point that I should mention is the FDA, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the Fish and Wildlife folks, and the USDA have all looked at this, and they are all comfortable with this from a safety and ecological perspective. The FDA in particular has jurisdiction. They regulate, they have jurisdiction over all genetically modified animals. So they reviewed our fish in coordination with the other agencies I just mentioned and allowed us to market the fish. So there's a lot of federal oversight, and there's also state oversight. Various states have their own independent review processes. And you know, down in Florida, we work with the – there's a task force that specifically looks at these kinds of issues. So we're very comfortable after now 6 years on the market, or nearly 6 years. There has never been any safety concerns or really any other concerns raised, and we're very comfortable that our conclusions when we started have really been validated.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, I guess there's only one state, right? Is that California that has still been difficult to be able to sell in?
Yeah. California is the only state. Coincidentally, they're also bankrupt. So I don't know if there's any any connection between the two, but certainly they are the only state that we can't sell in right now.
Okay. Is that going to change, you think, or is there interest in the state?
I think there's a lot of interest, Roy. The issue is really largely a procedural issue. For us to be able to sell our fish there, we'd have to go through a very lengthy 3, 5, 7 year process. It's hard to know. Very complicated and cumbersome process of producing an environmental impact report, which by all accounts would be expected to cost us many hundreds of thousands of dollars and again take many years. And then at the end of the process, it's subject to really the sort of political winds blowing at the time. So we're a small company, and it's really not practical for us to go through that kind of a process, particularly given the procedural uncertainty involved. Yeah, that said, we'd love to sell the fish out there if we could.
That sounds great. So I guess maybe this first segment, maybe finishing up, we'll talk more definitely about the species and the care and that sort of thing in the next segment. But I was curious, what's your overall thoughts on, you know, biotechnology and in, you know, the use of biotechnology in pets and in other uses?
Well, biotechnology, like any other technology, I think has tremendous, tremendous potential. And technology is really not good or bad in and of itself. I think it is a force for good, and historically is able to change the world in a very positive and beneficial way. And in particular, in animal biotechnology, we have tremendous opportunities with the technology to make significant strides forward in animal welfare, in animal husbandry, just general productivity of animals, a lot of different areas. And I think it's really incumbent upon the folks that develop the technology to do so responsibly and in a way that is going to be positive for the public at large.
Great. Well, thanks for that. I think what I want to do is maybe take a quick break, and then we'll discuss a little bit more about the color variations you have developed, some of the different lighting requirements, care, and some other specifics about the fish. But first, I think we should go ahead and hear a couple of messages from our sponsors.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's fine.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets with your Paranormal Pets ghostly host, Dusty Rainbolt, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Aquarium Mania on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Roy Anong, and we're going to continue speaking with Alan Blake, who is the Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of Yorktown Technologies, LP, and the licensor of glowfish, fluorescent fish, in the U.S. and in the world. So, Alan, we talked a little bit about some of the kind of challenges you had with getting glowfish into the market, as well as a lot of the science of the glowfish and biotechnology in general. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the glowfish themselves. Now, you mentioned, I guess, that you have three different colors. Can you tell us about those again?
Sure. We've got three colors. The trade names or the sort of market names are Electric Green, Starfire Red, and Sunburst Orange. And, of course, they are green, red, and orange. And tend to change color slightly depending upon the light that they're under, which makes it a little more interesting. But generally speaking, those are the colors.
Those three color varieties, were they all coming from coral, or where did each of the, I guess, the colors come from?
Yeah, the genes all come from coral.
Okay. And I guess I just wanted to make a quick return to the science a little bit. When you were talking, I guess, with Dr. Gong, is that correct?
Correct.
Right. How did he, when you first approached the National University in Singapore, were they pretty excited about the possibility of getting these colored fish into the market, or how yes. was their response?
Yeah, they were actually very eager to get these fish into the market. The challenge was there were all kinds of patents and other intellectual property considerations in the way, and that was really what we brought to the table was the legwork in getting all of the rights to get the fish to market. They were thrilled to have these fish in the marketplace.
And I guess some of the money goes back to research. Is that how was that working?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. A portion from the sale of every single fish goes back to the lab where they are still working on the sort of pollution detecting or pollution monitoring fish that I mentioned earlier.
Okay. So now you mentioned lighting for these, and you know, I have seen the fish. They're definitely beautiful and really as striking as any of the marine fish I've ever seen. What are specific lighting requirements to kind of bring out that color, or what do you guys usually suggest for folks that kind of want to have a really good exhibit or aquarium?
That is a great question. And Roy, you really hit the nail on the head. The glowfish provides a great way to get marine coloration in a freshwater tank. And I think that's why they've been so successful. To optimize the display, the best type of light to use is an actinic light. Some people know this as a blue light, but it's really the sort of high energy blue. Again, actinic is commonly referred to light. You can buy it in virtually any local fish store. That kind of light will really bring out the color in the fish. A white light, a regular fluorescent light, works just fine. The actinic light works better. And then for a really amazing impact, you can use a black light. This is a novelty black light, like the kind you'd use to light something up around Halloween time or you know, maybe back in the 60s, the sort of black light posters. You can use a novelty black light in a completely dark room. It's important. The room has to be dark. That will create a really stunning effect. So I have all the three lights and sort of switch from one to the other from time to time. Now, they're all great. And the other thing is using a dark colored gravel really adds to the contrast of the tank. So a sort of a dark brown or even a black gravel will add a lot more contrast.
So I have to ask, how many aquariums do you have?
Well, I've got an aquarium, really just one, but I love it. I take very good care of it, and I've had it going here for years. Now, of course, many years. Some of the inhabitants, of course, leave from time to time. new ones join, but love the aquarium, and I'm really glad to have it full of glowfish.
That's great. So I guess now that you mentioned marine freshwater, I think there may be some confusion with folks because of the gene and that sort of thing. Now, these are freshwater fish, right?
They are. They are freshwater fish.
Okay.
With the type of coloration you typically see in saltwater fish. Yeah, the reason for that is, again, because the fluorescence genes come from marine creatures. And that's why they have that coloration. But it is it's really spectacular, especially getting all three colors in the same tank, zipping around under the right lighting is really, it's an experience. And our tagline is experience the glow. And that's more than just a tagline. For us, it's our passion. It's our promise to the customers that we are trying to deliver not simply a beautiful fish, but an experience, that you're going to experience the glow of our fish.
So in terms of care,
marketing on you there, Roy.
Oh, sure. No, that was great. in terms of the care for these, is there anything people have to do differently, or what are the needs for these to keep them healthy?
That's one of the best parts. Because they are zebrafish, they are very hardy fish, very easy to care for, and the care is really no different than any other zebrafish. So for people who are not familiar with them, that's same types of flakes you'd normally give to your fish, same types of water parameters that you'd want to use with any tropical fish, and in general, they're much more hardy than a lot of other tropical fish.
Are they pretty much compatible with a lot of different species? Are they kind of the same?
Great question. They are community fish. They're actually great community fish. And what that means is they can go with any other fish that is not going to be aggressive against them. They're also great starter fish. A lot of times when a tank is first set up because of the natural ammonia cycle, the conditions can be a little bit harsh. And you want to start with a fish that's particularly hardy to work through that. And our fish work great for that.
That's good to hear. I actually had spent some time in the previous episode talking a little bit about the ammonia and nitrogen cycle, so I'm glad these fish can handle it and are able to help people to cycle their tanks. They would be obviously a beautiful fish to start with.
Absolutely.
So where are these available? Are they pretty much all over? I see them in some places but not in others.
Yeah, it's really become a sort of must-have if you're a fish retailer, staple within the industry. Our fish are available in virtually all Walmarts, Petcos, PetSmarts, regional chains, and a majority of the independents. So we have a store locator on our website. It's, again, glowfish.com. You can punch in your zip code. It will tell you where you can get them locally. Not all the chain locations are in there, the national chains. So if you live close to a national chain, just keep in mind that the fish may be there as well. But in short, Roy, they're really among the most popular fish in the industry. And if your local fish store is not carrying them, you know, you probably can encourage them to start doing so, and they can certainly order the fish from their local supplier.
Now, I guess another question, you know, a lot of times hobbyists and others will, you know, one of the big next steps after they've become comfortable with a hobby is trying to breed fish and, you know, that sort of thing. Now, if a hobbyist breeds these fish, can he sell them to a pet store or what, you know, how would that be a problem?
Well, the short answer is they can't sell them. And in fact, there is a restriction against the intentional breeding of our fish. Now, we understand that fish being fish are going to sort of, from time to time, they'll do what they do in a fish tank. Now, that said, it is very unusual, almost, I think, exceptionally unusual, that fish would sort of breed on their own in captivity in a home aquarium. It does happen from time to time, and that's just a fact of life. But we do have restrictions against doing that intentionally and then certainly selling the fish. We've put, as we've discussed, many years into the development of the fish. There's all sorts of intellectual property licenses and patents and rights that went into the fish. And given all of the work that we have put into it, and this is really what keeps us in business and allows us to continue to offer a quality product, we certainly hope that folks will respect the restrictions against breeding and selling the fish. And I would say that really has been our experience. And we do appreciate that folks do respect how much work we've put into this and have not gone out and tried to breed and sell the fish.
Okay, that makes sense, sure. Now, I know there's definitely a lot of interest in schools, and I do some of the Great American Teach-Ins, and actually I'm going to be doing one in a couple of weeks, and they're usually pretty excited when I do bring glowfish in. How's the response been in terms of education? I think you had mentioned something about that.
Yeah, it's been great. These are tremendous classroom teaching tools, and Roy, we actually have, you may be interested since you're about to head out there, we have a page on our website, a classroom page, that has about 24 professionally written, academic standard compliant lesson plans that are designed to go with glowfish. And they're free. You don't even need to register. You just go download them and can use them in the classroom. We have found that students absolutely love glowfish. They really capture the imagination and the fascination of students from kindergarten all the way up through high school. And they're great tools for teaching about biology, ecology, and then in the later years, genetics and even ethics, getting into commercializing biotech animals.
That sounds great. I'll definitely have to do that. I know the students are always very excited, and you know, if you can get a good classroom that you can turn the lights off in, then they definitely get a thrill out of that. And Halloween, you know, it's always great to have kind of glowing fish.
Absolutely. And you know, I should mention we have a link on our site over to Carolina Biological, which not only sells our fish, but they offer a kit that will go with our fish that has the appropriate lighting in it. And then also on a broader note, there's currently a kit being sold in some of the retail stores that also has, it's designed with the glowfish optimized lighting.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Definitely. So is there anything new on the horizon? You know, you mentioned three colors. Are you guys looking at other colors or other, you know, maybe even other species, that sort of thing?
Well, we'd love to be able to bring other lines of fish to market. Nothing in the near term. Again, there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into commercializing any new line of fluorescent fish. We've got to do just like we did for the first three lines. Every single line has to go through the federal regulatory process with the FDA, and as I'm sure folks understand, that's a very lengthy process, and it requires us to do all sorts of environmental risk assessment work. And ultimately, we would love to market other lines. We just are going to be absolutely sure that any line that we market is going to be safe for the environment, and it's going to be a product that is fish that's going to be really embraced by the marketplace. And because of that, it just takes a lot of time.
That's understandable. Well, hopefully there will be some new fish in the future. It's definitely been an exciting event for the aquarium fish industry. Definitely has had a lot of press. Actually, how was it meeting some of the folks? I know you were on a lot of the network stations, meeting some of the reporters to talk about it. How were those folks?
Well, it was an experience, Roy. It was, by and large, it was a great experience. We had, in the end, over 750 million media impressions. That's every time someone saw, read, or heard about a glowfish. And that was really worldwide. Every major newspaper, television, radio channel, and outlet in the country, many internationally. So it was a heck of an experience. I think people of all ages were really drawn to the idea, fascinated by the idea. And generally, I think did a good job of getting the information out that the fish are safe and that this is a great product for the industry. So very fascinating experience and one that I'm glad to have.
Do you have any famous people that you know have glowfish in their homes or businesses? Or is that that would be a secret maybe?
Well, let's see. The only one that comes to mind immediately is I read an article, I think it was in the LA Times, that Penn and Teller had our fish.
That's great.
That's kind of interesting. And we were featured in iRobot. I mentioned that's the Will Smith movie. They talked about glowfish, and the movie takes place 30 years in the future. So that was nice. You know, it's nice to think that we'll still be alive and kicking 30 years from now.
We'll yeah, see. Definitely. Definitely. That's great. Well, I think we're out of time. I definitely want to thank you, Alan, and all the work you and your co-founder and co-workers have done to get this fish into the market, kind of get a lot more people educated about biotechnology, the aquarium industry, kind of the merging of the two, and you know all the educational aspects as well, both in schools as well as to the general public. I think it's been really a positive experience overall in many different ways. Is there anything you want to talk about, you know, specifically before we end? Anything you want to point out to folks, et cetera, that might be helpful to them when they're looking at or thinking about glowfish? You mentioned the website.
Sure, sure. Well, the website is glowfish.com, G-L-O-fish.com. And again, I'm really glad to be here. I appreciate you giving me the chance to talk about our fish. And generally speaking, I want to thank everyone out there who has been such a great supporter of our product and folks that own our fish and have supported us through the years. And just encourage you to, if you have any questions or would like some additional support, please contact us at any time through our website. We're always happy to hear from folks. And Roy, thanks again for having me on.
Thank you again. And I'd like to remind folks, if they have anything they'd like to talk about, to visit the Aquarium Mania blog on Pet Life Radio. Also, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a show, please feel free to email me at roy@petliferadio.com. So until next time, we hope you continue to expand your aquarium horizons, visit a few pet stores, maybe build another aquarium site in your home, and think about all the endless possibilities, including the beautiful glowfish. And if you are ever in town in Tampa, feel free to visit the Florida Aquarium, a great place. And I think their exhibit, Aquarium Mania, same title as the show, actually has some glowfish on display as well. So that's it for now, and thanks again very much for joining us on Aquarium Mania.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.